But Metzia Daphne and Vav, we're starting from Masa Rav Sheshes, is about 10 lines up on Nun Hey Amud Beis. So we're in the middle of a discussion. Our Mishnah ruled, we're talking about the five chomeshes that can be paid. And one of them was not only for non-Kohen eats truma that he has to pay back the Kohen with the principal plus a chomesh, but also if he eats trumas meiser. And specifically, even trumas meiser of demai. Now demai is only with the rabbanon that you have to take off truma. When you buy from the amaretz, we live in daraisa. You could assume that the stuff was taken off. You could assume that the meiser was taken off. It's only with the rabbanon that you have to be concerned. And yet, rabbanon weren't so machmer, and they said that if someone eats the trumas meiser of demai and he's not a kohen, then he has to pay back the kohen additional fifth. So the gemara was very startled by that. Rabbah had a kasha. Rabbah said, "Why would the rabbanon so machmer? Were the rabbanon making a chizik like the Torah? This is a whole thing." Such an extreme thing for the Rabbanan to make such a penalty, a trumas meiser of demai, that the non-Kohen has to pay back the Kohen plus an additional fifth. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara of Nachman Bar Shmuel wanted to say that we're going like Rav Meir, that the Rabbanan made a chizik for their words like the Torah. We see Rav Meir's shita, so when a person brings a get and they fail to say b'fanei nachum b'fanei nachdam, so the halacha is that the child is a mamzer. It's like mamzer, like a get wasn't given. If a woman remarries based upon such a get, it didn't have a faninach, a faninachdam. So then the Rabbanan say, a child born from the marriage subsequently would be a mamzer. So according to that Rav Meir, the Gemara wanted to say, our Mishnah is following that, and we see the Rabbanan make a chizik ledevrim just like the Torah. And that's why, trumas meiser shel demai, there is no kula, and there has to be an additional chomesh, which is added if a non-Kohen eats it. So the Gemara wants to know, whether or not this conclusion is true. And this conclusion being that the Rabbanan are just as machar by Trumas Meiser of Demai, by Demai, as they would be as if it was regular Meiser. So the Gemara is going to try to develop that according to our mayor, it's not like that. Matzah Rav Sheshes has to ask a kasha from a Mishnah in Demai. Just to reiterate, we are talking about Demai here. It says, Mechalon Oso Kesef Al Kesef. A person has Meiser Sheni of Demai. So normally, Meiser Sheni, we know, if you don't take up the produce to Yerushalayim, you have the option of redeeming it onto money. So you can deconsecrate silver coins that have the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni and transfer their Kedusha upon other silver coins. So if I have silver coins that have Kedusha of Meiser Sheni, I can put that Kedusha onto other silver coins. Nechoshes on Nechoshes. If I have copper coins that have Kedusha of Meiser Sheni, I can put their Kedusha upon other copper coins. Now, this is a big chiddush, as we're going to see, because normally, putting silver on silver is not so simple that that's considered an act of chil. It's really just one the same entity. So I could put from one silver coins onto another silver coins is a chiddush, or copper on copper. Kesef on choshes, or put silver coins to transfer it onto copper coins on choshes al peres, and I could put copper coins and transfer the same thing even upon produce. Now, this is also a chiddush, because normally the way it works is that you put produce on money, and then you bring the money up to Yerushalayim, and then you spend it there. Here, you're outside Yerushalayim, and you're transferring the kedusha that the money has back onto produce. So that's an irregular thing. So what do you do with it then? We ask you if there's a peiros. Different mayor. According to our mayor, you then take the peiros that have kedusha and you put it back on coins. Rashi explains, because otherwise it's like backwards, right? The whole point of pidyon is to make it easier to get up to Yerushalayim. If you're poda onto money, that seems very irregular. So you have to be poda once it's on money. You have to be poda back. You have to go exchange it back onto the coins. This is the opinion of our mayor. No, there's no need to be poda the money back onto coins. You can just take the fruit back up to Yerushalayim. You could take just the fruit directly up to Yerushalayim. Okay, so there are a lot of leniencies there that were listed by Meiser Sheni of Demai, and we're going to show how they're really leniencies. So what did we say? We said you could put silver on silver, copper on copper. This is all once I have Kedusha of Meiser Sheni on coins, I can transfer it. Silver coins onto silver, copper on copper, silver onto copper and then on fruit. Machlok is from here, the Rabbanim, what I do with that fruit. But Al Kopanim, you see that that is the way that Kedusha can be transferred when you're dealing with Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni that is from Demai. So the question is, generally, me Machal and Kesef on Choshes, generally, silver coins that have Kedusha from regular Meiser Sheni, can they be deconsecrated and be put onto copper coins? V'atinaim, what does the Mishnah tell us? This is a Mishnah of Meiser Sheni, so not Demai, the regular rule. Sellers from Meiser Sheni, Shalchun Shinisar, but what happens if someone's a silver seller of Meiser Sheni and a non-Kadosh seller were mixed up, and it's unclear which one has the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni? So one of them has it, one of them doesn't. We don't know which one is which. So what do we do? Maybe Bisela Mos, or you bring a seller's worth of copper Mos, and you say, whichever one, wherever the silver sella Meiser Sheni happens to be, it should be mechulal, it should become deconsecrated upon these copper coins. Then you take the better of the two sella coins and you put the copper kedusha, the copper coins on it. So it's a very complex scenario. You have two silver coins, one's Meiser Sheni, one's not. You don't know which one. So you deconsecrate the kedusha of whichever one was holy onto copper coins. Then you put the copper coins back on the better silver coin. Now, why do you have to do such a roundabout way? So the Mishnah explains why you have to do such a roundabout way. Meaning, why can't you just like say that whichever silver coin has the kedusha should be mechul onto the other silver coin that is the better value, and then you'll just do it like that? Why do you have to put it onto copper and then put the copper back onto the better silver coin? Neisha Amr, because the Chacham said mechal so kesef anochoshes midoich. To ever put silver coins onto copper can only be done in pressing needs. Lo sheikayim kain, and not to remain in copper. Lo shechozer mechal ano kesef. Only if you then will deconsecrate it again onto silver coin. So basically, to do silver on silver, Rashi explains that never. It's supposed to be done. Rashi explains because it's not derech chilul, it's not deconsecration. Deconsecration means I put it on something that is different, a different type of object. Here, one silver cell onto another silver cell, that's done. That's not derech chilul at all. That's not the way of deconsecration. So if that's not the way of deconsecration, so that stam is not meant to be done. And to put silver onto copper, that's less than ideal. That's less than ideal because copper does not last as well. It gets rusty, so on and so forth. So therefore, yes, you can put silver onto copper, but only temporarily, and then you go put it back onto the silver coin. So it's a zilzul to put the silver on the copper. You can do it temporarily, but then you can put the copper back on the silver. So what do I take out of all this? Ketani mias machalan midaychak. I only can put silver onto copper for a pressing need. Midaychak in times of pressing need, like that case where the silver was mixed up and I don't know which one it was. There I'm allowed to do it. Shalom midaychak. But if there's no pressing need, lo, it's not permitted. I, by demai, the previous Mishnah, we said that there's no problem. You can take silver coins, you can put it on silver coins, you can put silver coins, put it on copper coins, no problem. Must be. What do I see? It must be we're more makel by demai, since it's only the Rabbanon. So this is the opposite conclusion. We were saying, according to Rav Meir, that we treat the Rabbanon just like the same severity as Daraisis. Therefore, there's no kulos by demai. Here, of course, we see there's kulos by demai. So what's going on? So the Gemara defense, Amar Rav Yosef, Avi Shemeko Rav Meir Pepidyonu. Yes, we're lenient. We're lenient in the way that you can redeem Maaser Sheni of Demai. Machmer b'achilas, but we were machmer about eating it. Meaning the case before, we were talking about the punishment for eating Maaser Sheni of Demai. There, we were stringent. We said if a non-Kohen eats it, he has to pay back of the Chomesh, even though it's a Drabana. That's where we said Rav Meir was machmer Kishal Torah. But in regard to the laws of deconsecration, there the law, in fact, is different. There we could be very makil. We could be makil with demai, and we are able to say that you could be podel, let's say, silver on nechoshes, even without dochek. And where do we get an idea that there could be different with pidyon and achila? And obviously the idea is that when you're actually consuming it, you're doing like much closer to a crime. You're doing an isser. So since you're doing a crime, you're doing an isser, the Rabbanon were so machmer, whereas just in the way that you're poted, the Rabbanon were makel, since it's only the Rabbanon. Now the Gemara tries to support this. Titan, the Rabbanon were only makel for a wholesaler to sell demai without taking off miser first. In other words, if you're in possession of demai, are you allowed to sell it without first taking off trumas and misers? Or do I have to be nervous that the buyer who buys it, who takes it, who receives it, may assume that it was already taken care of, and he might not take off the proper tithing? So therefore, the predicament is, can I sell it without first tithing it? So it's only a kula that we say for a wholesaler. A wholesaler is allowed to do it. Why? What's the pshat? Because since a wholesaler is getting it from a lot of numerous farmers who are many of them are Maharets, so the customers or the wholesalers will assume that the produce is demai and therefore they will tithe it themselves. They'll know better than to rely on the wholesaler to take off miser for them. But if you're dealing with a retailer, big of Engelsar Glasser, whether he sells demai in even a wholesale way or retail way, he always has to take off the miser first. Because when someone buys the produce from the retailer, he might assume that it's a homegrown thing and it's a chaver. Then he might say, oh, this is a Torah scholar. So probably he already took off trumas and maaseros. And therefore, it's incumbent upon that Torah scholar that before he sells it, to make sure they took off trumas and maaseros first. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. No, wholesaler, retailer, he could sell it to buy, send it as a gift, and he doesn't have to worry that the recipient will eat it without taking off trumas and maaseros first. So this proves that we said that according to Rav Meir, we are machmer by the consumption of demai. Even though Rameir was makel by pidyon and the laws of redeeming Maaser Sheni of demai, that's all because that's about the pidyon. But in regard to the consumption, indeed we are strict. In regard to the consumption, we are strict. And we say that we treat it like the Torah, as we saw before in Rameir. Like the defense that Gemara was trying to give, that you have to pay the chomesh, even though it's a drabbanon, and so too here, to be very careful if you're if you are a retailer of balabayas, when you're getting rid of Maaser Sheni Shel Demai, you better make sure that you of demai stuff, you better make sure that you tithe it before. Says the Gemara, Akasha on Rav Yosef. When we say Akasha on Rav Yosef, we mean Akasha on this chiluk that we're saying that Rav Meir was lenient by opinion and only machmer by consumption. Masar Rav, you know, the Mishnah says, someone who buys a bunch of loaves of bread from a baker who's an Amma Aretz, Masar Rachaman says he can take tithe, he has a bunch of bread. So some of them were hot and fresh, other of them were cold. And presumably, maybe from yesterday. So you can take off from the hot to pot to the cold. You can take off from the cold bread break yesterday for the hot, fresh bread of today. You're allowed to do that, even though they're different quality. Obviously, the hot, fresh bread is worth more than the cold, old bread. So you're allowed to take off from one for the other. Even if they come from different molds, different shapes. So even if it looks like that, if they look like different molds and shapes, then you have to be nervous that they came from different people. So you're still allowed to take off from one another. Divrei Rav Meir, these are the words of Rav Meir. So we'll get into what the novelty is when they come from different molds. So first, the Gemara just analyzes the fact that you're allowed to take off from different quality. That doesn't bother us so much. I could take off from the poor quality of yesterday's cold loaf to potter today's hot loaf. That would mean, let's say I have a bunch of cold loaves and a bunch of hot loaves. I can take off all the meiser from the cold loaves and take off an extra portion to potter the hot loaf. So that doesn't bother us so much, because even though you end up giving a lower quality to the kohen, that doesn't bother us because how do we know that if you take off truma from the inferior produce and you're trying to potter produce which is better, that that's still effective? How do I know that that's effective even though you're not taking from the best option? As it says in the pasuk, you shouldn't have a sin when you set aside the best of the produce of truma. So meaning the Torah is saying you should try to make sure that you take off the best. And it says, you shouldn't bear a sin when you take off from the best. So, Meino Kadosh, if it would be that if I take off from the inferior stuff, it doesn't even work. It's not even consecrated as Shrim on a Siyaschad Lama. Then in what sense would there be a bearing of a sin? If it's ineffective, there's no sin. The sin is that I made the bad stuff Shrimah. But if it doesn't become Shrimah at all, then there wouldn't be a sin. We count from here, we see, that even though it's not great to do, but Bidi Evid after the fact, when someone takes off from the bad onto the good, it's still Ischal. So we can understand that since after the fact it's Ischal, so then by Trimas, by Demai, we can be lenient. It can even be lechatchila for a person to take off from the bad stuff to potter the better stuff. When we say that I could take off from yesterday's loaf and to potter today's loaf, even if they're baked in different pans, that means that they could have come from different sources. That means that they could have come from different people. So if that's true, maybe one guy knew the laws of truma and he took off already, and one guy didn't. That means leichosh, I should have to be concerned. Maybe you're separating produce that's chayav. That's chayv midaraisa, and you're taking off to try to potter stuff to take off from stuff that's potter. Or maybe you're taking from something that was already exempted to potter something which is mechuyev. You can't do that. The halacha is when you're taking off one for the other, they both either have to be chayv or both be potter. So if they came from different shapes, different molds, so obviously they're coming from different sources. If they're coming from different sources, why don't we have to be concerned that if they're coming from different molds and different sources, that means there are different people who manage them. And maybe one person had taken off truma, one guy hadn't taken off truma. And now what you're doing is you're taking marachiv of Torah, Torah lachiv. Rav Meir is not concerned for that. It must be that he doesn't treat Demai stringently at all. It seems that he's not concerned for the stringency of Demai. So now our whole torn question comes back. Before in our Mishnah, we were saying someone needs Trumas, Maiz, and Demai, the people of we were saying, why? We're being so machmer. We said, we're going like Rav Meir, who's machmer by get. So we see we're machmer by the Rabbana. So too here. So now the Gemara has been challenging. We saw Rav Meir was mekel in pidyon. So we said, okay, maybe only in pidyon, but in consumption he'd be strict. But now I see that even when it comes to consumption, because you're taking off trumas, you're taking off the trumas miser here, you're taking off the Demai from a baker here who got from different sources and different molds. So we have to be concerned that maybe chivul apator elamai we're being mekel because it's a drabanon. So we see that Rav Meir does not treat Demai stringently. So before we're going to get to an answer, the Gemara just tries to make a whole recap of what happened here. If you just want to go over the whole thing. Trumas Meiser in the Mishnah, we said you have to pay a Chomesh. Rav Blazer had a question. Why is our Mishnah so strict? Shmuel gave an answer. We're going like Rav Meir. Just like Rav Meir is Machmer by Get, so too he's Machmer by the Rabbinic Trumas Meiser. Rav Shesha said, well, what do you mean? We see Rav Meir was Mekel in terms of the way you redeem, the way that you transfer Kedusha of Meiser Sheni of Demai. Rav Yosef answered, yeah, we're Mekel by Pidyon, but we are Machmer by consumption. Ravina then had a Kasha. So why is Rav Meir being Mater taking off from today's loaves for today if they're from different shapes? Maybe one set of loaves is chayv and tithing and one is not, and it's when Evchila Ptor. So the Gemara makes a summary. Amar Abai, Rav Blazer Shaper Kakashale. Rav Blazer's original question is a great question. That why we Machron Trumas Maizer Demai? Shmuel Lo Shaper Kamashale. Shmuel's answer that we're going like Rav Meir is not a good answer. Why is it not a good answer? Kasha Rav Blazer Misa Videi Shemayim. We had a Kasha involving something which is just Misa Videi Shemayim. It's not the most severe punishment. If a non Kohen eats Trumas Maizer, It's not the worst thing. It's only misa b'day shemayim. Mishan lishmo misa b'asim. We said, oh no, we're going like Rameir. Rameir was machmer, but our source that Rameir was machmer is from Get, and Get, which is a source, a concept of eishes ish is misa b'day shemayim. That's a lot more chomer. Do mashani misa b'asim the chamer. Maybe Rameir was only machmer on something like a Get where it's misa b'asim and misa b'asim is more chomer. So how do we know to apply that over to our Mishnah by trumas meiser, which is only a misa b'day shemayim? We don't have the right to do that. Rav Sheshes even after that, Rav Sheshes had a kasha that we saw by Pidyon. Rav Meir was making. That was never a good question. The Kamar Inu Misa, Rav Shmuel and Rav Blaz were discussing at least the death penalty. Misa B'day Shemayim, Misa was based in, but it was from Misa. Most Rav Sheshes lot. We're only talking about Meiser Sheni being po the Meiser Sheni, which is only a lot. The civil Chilul Shrechel, even if it's not redeemed, what's the worst that's going to happen? The Meiser Sheni wasn't redeemed. You didn't do the chilul properly. It's only a lot to eat it outside Yerushalayim. So just because Rameir is mikol there, that's not a kasha. Why would that maybe Rameir was machmer in eating? Eating is a misa b'day shemayim. Lamad Moser of Sheshes, but according to the challenge, Rav Yosef did ask Rav Yosef Shapir Kamashanale. Rav Yosef's answer that we're more mikol on, and that we're more mikol on pinion than we are on achila was actually a good answer. Okay, Ella. Now we get that's all. Now just him weighing in, Abai weighing in, and what has happened in the sugya till now. Ella Ravina, but now Ravina's kasha, the Rav Yosef, from the case of taking out loaves from different shapes, at the most of Minachtim, instead of asking from Rav Sheshes, from the case of the baker, of the Salami Palter, we should bring him support from the Mishnah's ruling about a wholesaler bread distributor. Not, it says in the Mishnah, if you buy loaves of bread from a wholesaler, you have to take off separately from every type of mold, if you're a mare. What's the pshat? Because we are concerned that when I buy from the wholesaler and it has different molds, that they're coming from different sources, maybe one guy took off and one guy didn't. So we clearly see that there is a reason to be machmer to my consumption. What are you going to say? What's the pshat by the wholesale distributor that we're being machmer? Because it must be we're concerned. He bought it from two or three different people. So it's not pshat like we're seeing a chumrah, this and that, but that's the letter of the law, because if it comes from different molds and he's a wholesaler, most likely he got it from different people. If so, Nachum Nami Mechad Gavra Dezavan, in the case of a baker, you could actually assume, or he's not a wholesaler, you could assume that it's from a single person. Even if it's from different molds, you could assume. That's the chilek. By a wholesaler, it makes sense that he got it from different people. Then when it's in different molds, it's almost like you know it came from different people. You have to be concerned from Rechiv Laptor. But a baker, even if it's in different molds, you say it's an aberration that's like that. Maybe he just himself made different molds, but presumably it came all from one source. And therefore, you don't have to assume it's chiyav al haptor. So that's me'ikar adin. It's not a special kula, but rather it was me'ikar adin. So there's a distinction between a wholesaler and the baker himself. Rava Amar Shmuel Shaber Kamashanila. Shmuel answered Rav Blazer, well, shame misa ba'ola. Because the death penalty is the same, whether or not it's misa b'day shemayim, misa b'day adam, it's all the same. He's referring back to the point that we were saying. Remember, the original kasha was, why other Rabbana being Machmir, so Machmir and Trumas Meiser of Demaiv, it's only the Rabbana. We answer, we're going like Rameir, who's Machmir by Get. We have a problem. Get is Misa B'day Adam. Eating Trumas only Misa B'day Shemaim. We're answering, yeah, but they're both ultimately Misa. They're both deaths. So whether it's death, premature death from the hands of heaven, or it's death through the court, either way, La Meisa, it is Misa. And if it is Misa, we see Rameir was Machmir, we assume he would be Machmir as well by Misa B'day Shemaim. So in conclusion, after all is said and done, this long, difficult sugya, our Mishnah was machmer. For someone who eats Trumas Meiser of Demai, we say you have to pay a chomesh. The Gemara is attributing this to the opinion of Rameir, who is very machmer under Rabbanans. The source of this Rameir is from Get. Even though Rameir is very machmer by the consumption of Trumas Meiser of Demai, he was not necessarily machmer by being podeh, by the redemption of Demai. We see certain kulas that are involved in that redemption. All right, now we go back to Onah. Says the Mishnah, these things are not subject to the halachos of price fraud. Remember, the halachos of price fraud, you overcharge, you underpay by a sixth, so under a sixth, more than a sixth. These things are not subject to those halachos. The following category: slaves, documents, land, real estate, and temple property. All these things don't have the halachos of Onah. And we'll see, this comes from Sukkim. We will discuss coming up. Also, another thing is that the halacha of kefil, that when you steal, you have to pay back double, that does not apply to these items. Also, the halacha, the penalty, paying four or five times the amount, that does not apply to these items. If you're an unpaid shomer, you don't swear on these items. Normally, there's a din that a shomer chinam has to swear if he claims something happened when he was watching it, but not if he's watching these items. A shomer does not pay on these items. It doesn't apply to these things. Rabbi Shimon Omer Tapad Amid Beis, Kachim Shuchav Achri Yusah, and if it's Kachim, even though we just said Kachim is excluded, but if it's a Kachim that you have responsibility for, what is responsibility for? Normally you make a carbon, you can make it in two ways. You could say, Hare Alai, it's a Chal upon me, and even if it designated something happens to it, then you have to replace it with another one. There's no responsibility. It's only this one that I'm designating, nothing else. If something happens to it, nothing else has to happen. So if it's kachim sheishem achrayi sheishem hanah, then there is price fraud. Why? Because since I have responsibility to replace it if something happens, therefore it is considered mine on some level. If it's considered mine on some respect, on some level, so then therefore it would have hanah. It's only considered hektish if I have no responsibility. But if I have responsibility, if something would happen to it, I have to back it up, then it's considered as if I have a sense of ownership on it. If it's considered I have a sense of ownership over it, then it's subject to the laws of hanah. But for the ones that I don't have a price for, in the month, no, that's just hektish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, another halacha, no chazan af, a mocher sefer Torah, behima margolis, so someone is selling a sefer Torah, an animal or a jewel. Very private and items that a person has a connection to. In the month, no, they're not subject to the laws of price fraud. We'll explain in the price later on, basically, that you can expect that there's no really set price for those items. Only said in regard to the things that we mentioned before, only for slaves, documents, real estate, and hektish, those things are excluded. But these things that you're listing, as sefer Torah or whatever, a jewel, those things are in fact not excluded. So Gemara wants to know, where did we get this halachas from? No, ani mili. How do we know that these categories are not included in hilchos or not? The Tanur Rabbanan says in a brayse, v'chisim kruv mikol ha-misecha, al-kono mian misecha. If you sell something to your friend, you buy something for the hand of your friend. Davar nikna miyad liyad. We're talking of no, things that go from one hand to another hand. A movable object. Those are the things, a movable object, which are subject to the laws of no. Yatsu kakoshin matalatlan. This excludes land because it does not move. Yatsu avadim shakakos. We also exclude slaves because they are compared to land in the pasuk. The pasuk, when it's talking about real estate and slaves, says that you can give them as yerusha to your children afterwards. So achuza means like real estate. So we could see that in the pasuk, with slaves are compared to real estate. Yatsu sharas. Shards are excluded. Mimkar, if you sell something, shagufa machar v'gufa kan. We're talking about something that the very self is being sold. So as you start, shagufa machar v'gufa kan. A note, a star is different because it's not the essence, not in and of themselves that the stale is made for. The whole point of a star is to be proof for something, but it's not, the value is not contained within itself. Someone who would sell his notes to a spice dealer, if he's using them to wrap spices, they would have onah. Why? Because there, if you're selling the note to be a wrapping, so then you are selling it for it to be for it itself. It's only when it's being sold as a proof, like in a case where it's backing up a debt, that's where we say that it's not subject to onah. But in a case where you're using the note for the value of it itself, for the note, like someone selling the note to a spice dealer to wrap the spices, it would be subject to onah. Says the Gemara Pshita, isn't that obvious? Obviously, if I'm selling a document to be wrapping paper, it should be subject to onah. Says the Gemara, lafukmud Rav Kahana, tekslub Rav Tanrud, ain't onah leprutos. There's no onah for prutos. We have that sukkah. Mashon Yishon ala prutos. He held that the machloka says, what's the minimum amount? Is it for onah? Is it a pruta or is it a silver? The small silver coin, which is six of which is larger than a pruta. So we're coming to say, even if it's a small amount, just a pruta, yesh on all the prutos, and that's what we're saying. Like typically, if you're just selling some wrapping paper as for spices, typically it would only be worth a pruta. And nonetheless, we're saying it's subject to laws of onah to bring out the halacha yesh on all the prutos. Hektesh, we said hektesh doesn't have the name of onah. Amar kra achiv, it says the word is brother. Altonu yesh is achiv. Achiv lo hektesh. The brother comes to exclude the property of hektesh. So first we said that since it says the hand, miyad, miyad, that excludes karka. So the Gemara has a kash, maskar, remember, mokal, echel, the sivyad, is it true? Ever it says yad, when they're telling you other mamash, it means an actual hand, not just possession, but actual hand, and that's why excluding karka. El miyata, think about this pasuk. What does it say by Sichon? It says by Yikach, Eskol, Arz, miyad, Sichon took all the land from Moab. So it says miyad, chanam, mikol, arv, yad, minakale, what you think he was holding. You think he was holding, Moab was holding the karka in the palm of his hand? Elamir Shuso, what is his hand? It means he took it from his possession. So you see, hand can just be used loosely to mean possession. Achnami Mir Shuso, when it says Konami Yanami Sakha, you mean from his possession. So then, why are we excluding land from the dinam of Onah? Because it says from hand. Maybe hand is just means used loosely to mean possession, and karka could in fact be included. So the Gemara counters back. Well, is it true what you're trying to say, that Yad just means loosely? loosely possession. Machlekes if yadu, wherever it says his hand lav yadu mamash, doesn't actually mean literal. Vatani says in a brayso by ganav imamatzi timatzi yadu, if the stolen thing is found in the thief's hand in the yadu, I would only know if it's literally in his hand. How do I know that if a person steals through using his roof, his yard, or his karfif, an enclosure, even though he didn't physically move it with his hands, but the animal entered in and he locked it inside? How do I know that you're a ganav through that case? It says if it's found in a double language, which means any way that it was stolen, even though it wasn't stolen with his hand. So we include someone to be a ganav, even if he didn't steal with his literal hand, because there's an extra drasha in the Torah of yimatzei timatzei. So we can say time matz only because the reason why it's included, the kasher rachman of yimatzei timatzei, went out of its way. The Torah said a double language. Halav hach, if it wouldn't be for the double language, I mean, I would think if yadu mamish, wherever it says his hand, it would mean a literal hand, and the ganav wouldn't be chai for kefil unless he steals it literally with his hands. What do I see? That a hand generally means a literal hand. It doesn't mean possession. Vesu, furthermore, another case where we see that hand means literal. Tanya, it says in the price of an awesome yada by a get. You put the get in her hand. In the yada, the price says, I would only know if you put it in her literal hand that she becomes divorced. Gaga, chatzir, kafif, minayin. How do I know that the get works if it's put in her roof, her yard, or her enclosure? It could be put in her domain, and that also affects divorce. It says, and he will place, which is mashma, anywhere in the wife's domain. So we can infer, time because Rahman of an awesome, it's only because the Torah said, and he places. A lava, if you wouldn't write that extra word, maybe it has to be literally in the hand. So we see that hand is literal. So the Gemara concludes that yes, it's true that hand does mean an actual hand. It's only by Sichon's conquest where it cannot mean that. There it has to mean Ela Bershusa must mean possession. But the general, the basis is that when the Torah says Yad, it means literally hand. So therefore, we have the right to darshan that Kanam Yad Liad means to the exclusion of Karka. Says the Gemara, Shaila, but Hokos on Abai, Reb Zera, Skiris, Ishlo, and Lovana. What's Allah about renting? If I'm renting a movable item, is a rental subject to the din of Onah or not? What's the language of the Torah by Onah? Mimkar Rahmana. The Torah says, a Mimkar, a sale. Avalos Kirish, we should say that a sale is to the exclusion of a rental. O Dilmar, perhaps Loshana, there's no difference between a sale and a rental. If a sale, there's dinam of Onah, a rental as well. Amalabai, Mixim, Yokal, Ilum, does it say a permanent sale? Mimkar, Stomach, if it says a sale. You know what a rental is conceptually? A rental is a sale for the day. A very interesting Gemara. What is the concept of a rental? A rental is a temporary sale for the laws of Onah. So even though the Torah said sale, the skiros, a rental, would be included because the concept of a rental is that it's a temporary sale. Says the Gemara, another Shaila by Rav, Chitim Azor Mekar, come out. We know that movables are subject to the din of Onah, but real estate is not. So what if someone has wheat seeds and he plants them in the ground? What is the din if he sells them before they have taken root? What's the halacha when he makes a sale on those seeds? Yesh Onah v'Onah, are they subject to the din of Onah or not? The Gemara explains the two sides of the Shaila. Come on, the Shaila, because they're done Yesh Onah. Are they just like they're being put in a container? Meaning, they didn't lose their identity being metazolin just because they're put in the ground. It's just like I could store something in a container, I'm storing it in the ground. Therefore, it's still subject to dinim of Onah. Odimar, perhaps, batanu akavara. He has been mevatel them to the ground. They become part of the ground. Therefore, they're treated as land. And they're not subject to the dinim of Onah. Once you put them in the land, they become part of the land. They become part of the land. Once they become part of the land, so they're not subject to the dinim of Onah. Says the Gemara, hechi dami, what is the case? What's the practical difference if they're treated as movable objects or as land? Presumably, because if they're land, there's no dinim of a knob movable, there would be. But if the seller told the buyer, I put six sas of seeds into the field, and I'm selling you those seeds. Vasu Saadi, come along, witnesses. They say, actually, you only put five sas. So if that would be the case, the question is, how many seeds were put in? He said, I'm putting in six sas of seeds, and really, there were only five. Whenever something is sold by measure, weight, or number, even if it's less than a six, it's always returnable. So even if he planted fewer seeds than he claimed, it should always be returnable, even if it's treated as land. Because there's a new halacha. If you agree to a certain specific amount of something, then if it's not that amount, then it's mekatos. So the point that the Gemara is saying is that if that's mekatos, it's just a mistake, then it's returnable. So therefore, if it's returnable, even if it would be treated like land, it should be that way. This is a new halacha of Rava that Onah is, I'm selling you something and the price is wrong. Okay, that's Onah. But if it's off because I said I'm giving you a certain amount and it's not that amount, so then this down, it's always off. It's totally batal. The whole mekach is off. So if that would be the case, it should be off because I said I'm going to sell you six sas of wheat and I only gave you five. So that's off. So that's stam a mekatos. So even if it would be treated like karka, it should be totally reversible. Says the Gemara, Ella da Amar Yusha da Baikadabayala. The case is where the seller said, I put into the field as much wheat seed that the field would need to make a full yield of wheat. If you glide milsa and it was emerged, it emerges Loshad Baikadabayala. He didn't put as much as was needed. They didn't name a specific amount. The previous case, we're saying, oh, he said, I'm putting in six saw. In our case, the Gemara is reversing. No, he didn't say a specific amount of wheat seed. He just said, I'm putting enough seed to make the field make a field of wheat. So it was false. So therefore, the Gemara thinks that it would be onah. In such a case, interestingly enough, even though, again, it's not a price fraud in terms of the value, but it's similar in the sense that it was off in the assessment. How many seeds would need to make a full field of wheat? So that's the nafkimina. If it's movable, it's maybe shahat in the name of onah. If it's karka, it wouldn't be. So do we say you have onah or not? Command the shah because you're some onah. Is it just like they're in a container? It has onah. Once he puts the seeds in the ground, it becomes balto of the ground, and therefore, they're not subject to the name of onah. Now, the Gemara has another shiloh where it's nafkimina. Where it's part of the ground or not. We know the halacha is, as the Mishnah showed, that you don't swear about karka, but you do swear about metatalim. Let's say modem mixtas. Someone has a claim against his friend and the other party admits partially. So if it's karka, you don't swear. If it's metatalim, you do swear. So nishmalim or nishmalim. What's the halacha about something where it seeds in the ground? Do you make a shvuah on them or do you not make a shvuah on them? Command the shabbat dami nishmalim. Are they, if you like, they're just in a container and therefore you do take a shvuah? They're metatalim. Or dilmar, maybe patlinu agavara, by putting them in the ground, they become part of the land. They nishmalim. Now you don't swear about them. Now the Gemara declares yet another shaila. Now the Gemara declares another shy about these seeds in the ground. Omer matir or imam matir? Is the Omer offering going to be matir eating these planted seeds? Or will the Omer not be matir these seeds? So just a little bit of background here. The Omer carbon that's brought on the second day of Pesach is matir the new crop of grain, which had been usher until that point. The halacha is any grain that takes root after the Omer is brought cannot be consumed until the next year's Omer. But if it took root before the Omer is brought, then it could be. So now the Gemara wants to know what's the halacha if there were seeds that were in the ground at the time of the Omer. Is the Omer matir or not? So first the Gemara says, well, what's going on? If the seeds already took root when the Omer offering was brought, Tanina, that's in the Mishnah. We're going to see in a second. If they didn't take root, that's also in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, if there are seeds which take root before the Omer was brought, they're in the ground and they take root, and Omer matiron. The Omer offering is matir them, and then even any grain that grows out of them is automatically mutter, was chal the heter with the Omer. But if they didn't take root, they're usher until the next Omer. So what's our shayla? They're in the ground. Is it like they're in the ground? They're bottled to the ground or not? We know the answer. If there was a shrasha, if it took root, the Omer is matir, even what grows out. If it didn't take root, then the Omer is not matir. So what do we want to know? So the Gemara explains, the case is where he harvested the grain kernels and he planted them before the Omer was brought. The Omer then came and passed on them when they were in the ground. They hadn't yet taken root before. So we're basically saying these are kernels of the grain that already had grown, and you could have eaten them, or you wanted to plant them. So the ones that were designated as food become matur as soon as the Omer is brought, but they were planted as seed, so maybe we could say that it's not matur them, because once you make the decision to plant them, so then maybe you can't get a hatter. Could I then take them out of the ground and eat them, or not? So the question is eating those kernels itself. Of course, since they didn't take root, any grain that would grow out of them would certainly be usher until the next year's Omer. But we're talking about this already came out of the something which grew, but now I put it back in the ground. So that's a shayla. When I put it back in the ground, is that seed itself, if I would pick it out of the ground and I want to eat it, would it be mutter or not? And the two sides of the question, again, are the same lumps. Come on, the shayla, kazi, dummy. Are the planted kernels just viewed like they're in a container of shirinu omer, and the omer is matur them because they're not part of the ground? The duma, but the nagavar, maybe they're part of the ground. So it comes out of maskana. We have a shaila how to look at seeds that are planted in the ground before they take root. Are they part of the ground or not? The nafkimina for the omer is after it was already green that was grown, and now I put it back into the ground. And now that it's in the ground, now I decide, you know what? And the omer was brought while they were in the ground before they take root. So I know the grain that grows out won't be matir. But Mashallah, if I take it out of the ground now, was the Omer matir for the seed itself? And that Gemara, the Gemara says, Teku, we remain with a Shaila that is not resolved on that.